things and give a little bit of my own testimony. And then I got thousands of words on that laptop because a picture is worth a thousand of words. So we'll look at a few pictures. And then I wanted to keep that kind of short so that we could open the floor to people that were at the Backyard Bible Club so that you could hear their own words and hear the testimony of how the Lord worked in their life. And if no one has any testimonies, I know Mrs. Afiro does, and I think Brother Pedigo does, right? Maybe Mr. Mayo? I don't know. We'll see. But and Brother Mike? So, okay, we got a few. Because I said, if not, then I could just talk. And I could talk for a long time, too. But I won't do that. So I guess why don't we begin in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you, God, for this place and this great country, Lord, and where we can come right now and even look at pictures of people serving the Lord and what you did, Lord, and to share the blessings, God, of what you did in 1 week, God, in a country where we didn't have to worry about going to jail or get shut down or get persecuted or anything like that, Lord. And thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and we pray, God, that the next half hour or so, Lord, of testimonies, God, would be edifying to the saints, God, and encouraging, Lord, and that it would kindle a fire, God, in the souls of each individual here, Lord, for the souls of others, God, who might be dying and going to hell now. And we pray for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'll just start with a little bit of an introduction, and this was back at the planning meeting, I think it was like in February. And Pastor Huff basically said, I want the college and career class to do the Backyard Bible Club. I had no idea exactly what the Backyard Bible Club was or what it would entail or anything. And the first thing I thought in the flush was, oh no, this is going to take a ton of work because these things just don't fall together. I know that. That much I do know. These things, skits and stuff like that, they happen in, you know, 10, 20 minutes. But you don't know how much work and running around goes into that. But I also made up my mind in 1994 when the Lord broke me down for different reasons that I was going to do whatever I was asked to do without complaining. And so I put a smile on my face and said, yeah, thinking, oh no, no kitchen until the end of the summer. So with that said, we did the Backyard Bible Club, and it was a really big blessing. And we have some pictures to show you, which will probably make it a little bit more clear of exactly what we did and what the Lord did there, I should say. First of all, I'd like to just break it into two categories. The first category is that the Backyard Bible Club was very beneficial for the kids, as you would expect, because if it wasn't, then it's a waste of our time for doing it, right? And the second point is that I believe the Backyard Bible Club was just as beneficial for every one of the workers that attended it, whether it was 1 day, 2 day, or the whole week. And so first of all, for the kids, I'll just go through this quickly. I don't want to belabor this, and we can get to the pictures, but spiritually, the gospel was preached, and when the gospel is preached, there's a blessing, whether you like it or not, and Jesus Christ's name was proclaimed, and it was proclaimed. We know that because some of the neighbors didn't like it, okay, and these kids got instruction on how to live for God, and most importantly, I think, aside from the gospel and that they got instruction was, I think these kids who are like in, they're not really, I wouldn't say in total poverty, but they're a lot lower in standard of living than where most of us are. They found out that there's a church full of people there who are willing to give their time and money and energy who love them, and that there's a place they can go where people will love them and care for them. And I think that means a lot to these kids, and I believe it meant a lot to the parents. A lot of the parents would come by while we were preaching and teaching and stuff and giving out the prizes, and they would just sit there on their bikes or with their strollers and just watch. And, well, one of the good testimonies that Bill Pryor noticed was that when it started raining, and there's a whole testimony about the weather, but when it started raining, all the adults grabbed this big tarp, and while Bill Pryor was giving out the prizes, they walked this tarp over the kids, human post. And they were holding, it's something I can see Brother LaPointe doing, you know, by himself with a pink tarp, you know. But they were holding this tarp over the kids to keep the rain off, and the parents were around watching, and I think it was a great testimony. Bill Pryor testified to that. The parents thought, you know, this is a church where they care even if my kids get wet. And I think that was wonderful. And you just can't put it into words how I'm getting goosebumps right now when I'm saying all this stuff. So anyways, I hope it's going out to you because really this is to provoke you to get involved. Practically, there's two things that the kids got. Number one, they had a lot of fun. They really did have a lot of fun. There was a lot of laughter, a lot of prizes, a lot of food, and running around and stuff. They had fun. And for the parents, they got free babysitting for a whole week. Okay? They got evenings off. They could take each other out to dinner or whatever for 5 evenings. Okay?
So that's what the kids got out of it. But really what I want to focus on is what the workers got out of it. And the first thing is that we had a great team of people that came together, and it almost came together at the last minute, but I guess nowadays we're in that high-pressure society where you need that deadline to really get people moving. And there was a lot of synergy and great fellowship. The neat thing about it that I think, especially in terms of everyone working together as a team, was just how one day would affect the next day. And I can start this by going to the day of Thursday and go backwards from that, because on Thursday, I got an email from Jim Ranke, and he was freaking out because he's like, well, because I did on Wednesday this fire demonstration. He's like, oh, I saw all your visuals, you know, and I can't do that kind of thing, and I'm freaking out because of blah, 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 and what should I do, you know, because you need an attention getter to get those kids' attention. You got to do something crazy. He did something crazy. It was awesome. He got pictures of it. But I told him, you know, hey, and I was talking to Mayo about this too. I said, the only reason I upped up the number of visuals I had was because Mayo and Wolfram, they did such a good job on Tuesday. I mean, they had these kids captive. He was dressed up like Indiana Jones, and Jason Wolfram had this bullwhip, and they're cracking it at this fake lion, and he had all these pictures, and I was like freaking out, like, oh man, I've got like a blowtorch and a piece of PVC pipe that I'm going to burn. This is going to be boring for them. So that night, I was up all night putting pictures together. I was up 10 minutes before I was out the door at work. I got the Ruckman book, and I'm Xeroxing pictures of hell and stuff like that on my printer because I'm in a hyper wreck because I didn't, you know, you don't want to have the loser presentation for the week, you know. And when I was talking to Mayo was like, well, the only reason I put all those visuals together is because I saw what Mark Payne did. Mark Payne had a live snake on the first day, and he had pictures of the snake wrapped around his daughter Jennifer's neck and stuff, like when they were down at Disney World, the big boa constrictor and stuff. And he had the bee outfit on. We told them it was a snake outfit. We figured they wouldn't know the difference. You'll see a picture of that, too. He was the snake man for the week. And, you know, it was really neat because one lesson would provoke the next lesson for the next day. And then by the time it got to Brother Pedigo, he was, you'll see the picture of him. That'll be a surprise. And the skit on the last day was just awesome. It really, I'm going to get ahead of myself. So it was a great team. There was a lot of synergy. And the great thing is that everyone provoked everyone else. And none of the lessons would have been what they were had not the preceding lessons come before it, you know? And, I could just jump ahead for one thing just to show you our thing, because what it was is it almost became like a junior church camp meeting, if you want to call it that. I mean, that's really what I would call it, a junior church camp meeting. And if I pull up our flyer here, this is the flyer that we put together. And it kind of, I hope this works. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to open up in Microsoft Word, because the flyer shows kind of the lessons that we did. And it's, what does the Bible say about the first day was snakes, the second day was lions, the third day was burning fires, the fourth day was other people, that's really peer pressure, and the fifth day was you, and that's like the heart. And special thanks to Brother Rehnquist for that Uncle Sam finger there. He said it took him 45 minutes to find that and put it in. We were like bouncing this document back and forth trying to get it on. And special thanks to Brother Pedigo. He printed us over 200 of these on a color laser jet. Do you know how much it cost at Office Max for a color print? 99 cents. That's like $200 worth of printing that he did for us for free. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. And then we actually ran out of flyers the second week we did visitation. So we had to go and we compromised and we got black and white on yellow paper, which was like 10 cents a piece, you know. But, you know, it's a difference between $5 and $50, you know. So you got to save some money. Anyways, so the whole week was like a camp meeting. You start out with snakes and lions and fires, and that's all like stuff to do with scaring people about the devil, about sin and salvation. And then the last part of the week, and we didn't really plan it this way, it just kind of ended up this way, just through a lot of prayer. The last 2 days was more like how to live, how to avoid peer pressure, and how your heart is wicked and the cause of everything else. You know, everything that goes bad in you is because your heart's bad. And so it was almost like a mini camp meeting, which was a blessing. And it was a great opportunity to experiment and learn, okay? And I'll just give my little testimony right here, and then we'll look at the pictures, and then I'll open the floor to other testimonies. Personally, I thought that this week was a really good, faith builder for me in terms of having faith in the Lord, and also it stretched me in terms of prayer. And You know, I manage people at work every day, and I'm the type of person where I might be borderline control freak. I like to have everything under control. I don't like outside variables. I like to know what's going to happen and have everything in place before I undertake anything. At work, they tell me, make it happen, and my job is to make it happen. And I like to do that. But the problem here is there are too many factors that are out of my control, which really made me nuts until I came to grips with it. Number one, who's going to get involved? It was, you know, at first I wasn't getting any volunteers or anything like that, and I was freaking out, okay, it's going to be the Mike and Becky show in a neighborhood, and there's going to be like two kids there, because the other factor was who would attend, you know? You don't want to mobilize 30 people, and you go out there, and there's nobody, and we're like singing to Jared and Caleb and, you know, Christopher and a bunch of other church, you know what I mean, kids like that. And then the big one was the weather. What if it rains all week? What if there's a hurricane? What if it snows? What if there's a tornado? There's no control over that. There's no control over the neighbors. There's no control over if they call the police. We just have to deal with these things. The police did show up on the last day, and I didn't take a picture of that. I wish I did. He was spitting tobacco while he was talking to the lady. Can you believe it? A police officer nowadays spitting tobacco while he's talking to a woman, and she's got a British accent. I mean, you'd think he'd be more cultured than that, you know? Okay, what kind of, the Lord, first of all, with all these unknown factors, the Lord was completely, 100% faithful in every single unknown factor. Many people got involved. The attendance was, it was a little bit low on the first day because of the rain, and that was 13 new people, like from the neighborhood, and the rest of them church children, and then after that it bumped up to about 30 a night of new people, plus all the church kids, so that brings it between 40 and 50 kids a night. So it was pretty wild. So who attended? The Lord completely took care of that. The weather in itself is a testimony. It rained so hard on Monday that I was a basket case at work because I was still going through my control freak phase. And I mean, there's times where my visage, noticeably, people were asking me what was wrong, and I felt like I wanted to jump off the balcony. I'm like, you know, you put all your life and energy and your blood into this, and you pray and pray and pray. It was raining so hard at work that I'd look out the window from the hallway, and I could see the fountain overflowing onto the landscape around it. I'm like, oh, this is just wonderful, you know? It's going to be drenched. Who's going to come out and listen to preaching in this type of weather? And it was weird. By 6 o'clock, it was just gone, and the skies cleared up, and the grass all drained. I mean, it was beautiful. And then Brother Pettigal had this humongous tarp in the back of his truck, and we spread the tarp out. You'll see pictures of that, and the kids sat on the tarps. They stayed completely dry, and it was such a good idea that we used that tarp every single night for the kids to sit on. Had it not rained that first day, we wouldn't even thought of using that tarp, and maybe the kids would have got more mosquito bites on their rear end. So actually, it was a blessing that it rained. And then every night after that, it was the same thing. You know, Tuesday was beautiful. And then Wednesday, you know, I've got this fire demonstration to do with a big grill and a blowtorch and everything. And it's raining like crazy. And I'm looking on the, or it didn't rain like crazy, but there was predictions of rain. It was getting overcast and the superstorm. Every time I checked the weather channel all day, it didn't just say scattered thunderstorm. It said scattered severe thunderstorms all through our area. And it had the dark cloud with the rain just to really freak you out. And I was getting freaked, and then finally, and then of course Dundee was just a parking lot getting across. I'm in Deerfield, and it's taking me over an hour to drive there, and I'm like, you know, literally shaking, like, what am I going to do? And you're in a panic. I'm going to have to run there, set all this stuff up. And then finally, you know, the Lord like spoke to me. I was praying the whole way there, and the Lord's just like, look, Mike, you know, I can open up the windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep and make the whole earth flood so that all the mountaintops are covered, you know. And you're doing this for me. You're not doing this for yourself. You're doing this so that souls would get saved and so that kids will get edified. You're doing this as a servant, and I can make it rain on your day or the whole week if I want, and just take it or leave it. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do. And if we're standing out there in the rain with a blowtorch soldering pipes or something, then that's what we're going to do, you know. And if no one's there, we're still going to go and do it. But it's weird. As soon as we got there, the sky opened up. It got a little bit sunny. And then we found out later when we looked at the radar and everything that the storm had made a hole. I mean, there was literally a hole right where we were in Palatine. The storm went on both sides of us into Wisconsin, and it was pretty severe according to what people told me at work, because everyone at work knew I was doing this because I was dragging a guitar to work every day. And so even at work, they were asking, how did it go and everything? And it was a real good, it was a real good blessing. And just a few more things with the neighbors. The Lord was really in that. There was one woman the first week that we blitzed that apartment complex with these flyers for two Saturdays in a row. And we wanted to hit each door two times, but the first Saturday we ended up just making sure we handed it to people in person. The second Saturday we hit every single door with one of these flyers to make sure that they knew about it. And the Lord was really in that, because the first week we knocked on one door, and it was a blessing because we got to take Christopher. The first time he knocks on the door, he cramps my style, I found out. Because I knock on the door and then he copies and he keeps knocking, and we're trying to tell him that it's rude, you know? He just keeps knocking, and he wrinkles the tracks up a little bit, but it was a blessing to just take him on visitation for once. And there was a lady who just started screaming at us at the top of her lungs to get out. We didn't have a permit, and she was going to call the police and all this stuff. And then we just talked to her very calmly, you know, a soft answer, turneth away wrath. And we talked to her and explained to her what we were doing, and she had confused us with another group, which she says was a bunch of jerks that came the year before, but Karen Thorpe, who is the host, said there was no Backyard Bible Club the year before. This is completely fictitious. We don't know who she's talking about, but she had it in her mind that we were that group. And I said, no, we're not that group. We wouldn't fight parents and try to punch out some dad for trying to take his kid. It's ridiculous, you know? And anyways, by the end of the conversation, we had won her over. And then the next week when we saw her, she opened her door to us and we were giving her the flyer and like almost welcomed us in like we were long lost friends, you know? And said that she wanted to come out and check it out, but she never came out and check it out, but she never called the police either. So that was good, because the first week she said she would call the police, you know, if we did this kind of thing. And then the other two guys we had problems with was the guy who looked like Bob Nagelski before he got saved, and he really wasn't that much of a problem, though he sat out on his balcony a few nights and listened, and his wife was complaining that we took all the good parking spaces. But Mark Payne got her back accidentally. The Lord set that up when he was what we call the cuss man, and we'll show you pictures of that later, just to get you thinking. What's the cuss man? You'll find out. And then finally there is Mr. Greenpeace, and that's the guy who is next door to Karen Thorpe, and she was the one who was the hostess of this whole thing. And believe it or not, she's a member of Harvest Bible Chapel, you know, 6,000 members or whatever, and they don't want to help this lady do a backyard Bible club like this. And you'll see, when you see the pictures, you'll see the blessing that they missed out on. Pray for her that she would join this church. She really needs to be here. She really needs to be here. Her thinking and her heart and everything is on souls, and she loves these kids, and she needs to be here, not there. But maybe she likes the music better there or something, I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, Mr. Greenpeace lives next door to her, and he kept coming out and complaining, and he would always wait till all the guys left, and he'd badger the women, because he's a Greenpeace guy. And anyways, he ended up calling the police, and on the last day, the police came out, and he basically told Mrs. Thorpe that this is the same as a birthday party. It's ridiculous, you know, that anyone would even complain, and in fact, it was a shame that people nowadays would complain about something like this, where you're doing something for the kids. They're not making any more noise than if they were playing a soccer game out there, and kids play back there all the time. It's just that this guy can't stand it because we're singing about Jesus for 10 minutes at the beginning of each service, you know? And really, I didn't get a chance to talk to him all week, but if I did, I planned it in my mind. I was going to ask him, hey, if this was a bunch of Hell's Angels out here listening to Ozzy Osbourne at, you know, 2,000 decibels, drinking beer and half drunk, would you have enough guts to come out there and approach them the way that you approach some of us, you know? And I think there'd be a little bit of inconsistency. I think maybe he'd close the door and close the blinds and just pretend it wasn't there, you know? And maybe pray that it wasn't there. But so anyways, it was growth for... In all areas. I left my Bible down there. I wanted to read a verse before I show the pictures and open up for other testimonies, but in Proverbs 22:28, it just says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And I hope that these pictures motivate you and inspire you. And I know that VBSs and backyard Bible clubs and stuff like this, they aren't per se official landmarks of the Baptist faith, but they're unofficial landmarks. This is the type of stuff that our churches are built on, you know? And this is the type of stuff that you really need to get involved in. And I hope when you see this, it'll make you want to get involved in it, because it is a lot of work and it is a lot of sacrifice and you're tired, and we all worked full-time all week and then came to this every night. But it's such a blessing that it becomes fun, you know? The work becomes fun. It's not like at work where you go to work and you're tired and then work becomes work and then it's not fun. But this at work, actually, the Lord makes it fun. So, without any further ado, I'll show a few of these pictures. I don't have very many, only 70 of them. And we'll go fast, though, really. I show these to Becky in like 5 minutes.
yesterday to make sure, and it's only 8:29, we have some time for testimonies. Okay, this is standing at the back side of the yard, and I'm looking at her porch right now, where that white chair is. That's where Karen Thorpe's porch is, and this is the yard. These are the reconnaissance photos I took. And when you're standing on her porch, so in other words, imagine you're standing right here on this chair and you're looking out at the yard. If you look to your left, no, you're not going to see that. If you look to your left, you're going to see this. And if you look to your right, or if you look straight forward, you're going to see the Home Depot and the fence. And this fence was great for bouncing the sound back to the neighbors, so they had to hear everything. And then when you look to your right, you'll see that. So as you can see, really, it's a really big yard that we were working with. It was a really nice size the Lord provided. And then this is standing at the Home Depot fence looking down, and there's the McDonald's there at the end. But you can see it was a nice big area of common ground that they let us use. And there's Tim Mayo and the obstacle course. And I'm just going to breathe through some of these with a minimal explanation, and I'll stop it in a few places. This is a warm-up where they're just warming up for the things going on. And that's Hannah and Christopher playing with a ball before it starts. And this is just to give you a flavor of, you know, what type of atmosphere was there. And you can see it's a really sunny day. And this was, we started taking pictures on Tuesday because we were so stupid. We were actually focusing on our work and not focusing on taking pictures of how good we looked while we were working, until Tuesday we realized we're not taking pictures for our propaganda board. So we brought the camera out to take pictures, but still we missed a lot of shots because really you get so involved working with the kids that who has time to pull out a camera and take pictures, you know? We ought to hire a photographer next time. And these are some of the kids there, ready for the singing. And there's Brother Fickett and the Tracys and Brother Mike, and the whole Payne family came out every single day of the whole week, Brother Pedigo and Sandra. I mean, this is the type of atmosphere. It was like a party. It was like an outdoor party. And here they're all standing up and singing. And then this one right here. It was Ruckmanite, and Brett here is teaching them the Hail Hitler. Because you got to teach, at a Bible conference, you got to teach them how to do the Hitler thing. Actually, it's Father Abraham. And what I wanted to say on this picture is, I was going to get later. There's another picture of Brett. But Brett's not here, so he can't give a testimony tonight. But I told him I was going to give a testimony for him. He's one of our answers to prayer, and Pastor vouched for me. The Saturday night before this started, we prayed that this would have some kind of snowball effect, and I prayed specifically that, you know, this Backyard Bible Club would grab the hearts of some young couples and really give them a thirst to want to serve. Now, Brett and Jen promised us that they could give us 2 days, Monday and Friday, because that's all they could afford with their schedule and everything, and she had doctor's appointments, and they're working on their house and this and this and this. And he said he didn't want to see us get stuck without any help, so he gave us 2 days. They ended up revamping their whole week, and they came every single night of the week because they got addicted to the ministry, which is, it was just a blessing. Every night I'd see him get out of his car, I'm like, I can't believe it, he's coming again, you know? And he had a big smile. He didn't come with, like, bags under his eyes and like, oh, here we go, we got to do it. But he was actually smiling and happy. And here's the Indiana Mayo. See, this is the type of crazy stuff this guy does. And then, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I got a blowtorch, I'm going to look like an idiot, you know, because I don't have the costume and everything. And here's Jason with his bullwhip, and he was cracking that really loud. And they had like a CD of a lion playing coming from behind the door, and the kids thought there was a lion. It was really loud. It was cool. And then here's some other shots. This guy's a guy named Victor, and Wojo got to witness to him on the first night. He came for 3 nights, and then he stopped coming. I'm not sure why. He was one of our older kids. This is Mrs. Payne and Tim, and this is Brother Pedigo doing our memory verse. Every night we had a memory verse that we did, and there's me freaking out to set up the grill and everything. There's Tim Mayo and Ranky, and I'm not even going to say the names because you can figure out who they are. This is just to show you. This is a piece of sheet Durarack cement board so I wouldn't torch the plastic table and have the neighbors call anything. We didn't get any pictures of the fire, though. My wife was taking the pictures, and you know, like I said, you get so distracted, the last thing you're thinking of is taking pictures. So those are the ashes. And I look like a geek because, you know, you know, it's last minute. I'm thinking, what can I do for a fire display? So I got my brother's hard hat, and I dressed up like a construction worker, which has nothing to do with fires. But, you know, I even had my asbestos mask, but I couldn't talk through that, so I didn't put it on. But, you know, the thing is, any little thing like this turns the kids on. They don't care if it goes with it or not. You know, wait till you see the snake man, you know.
This is Karen Thorpe. She's the one who let us use her yard. Pray for her that she would join our church. She's saved and she's got a real good spirit. And there's some of the Ruckman pictures. And these are the prizes every night. Bill Pryor gave out prizes. We had a grand prize, and then we also had prize boxes for memory verses, and then Mayo gave a little spiel about the bus ministry and how they could come and ride the bus ministry. And here's the big blue tarp that we set on every night, and here they're actually shaking the water off of it. And yeah, the Widoms came out a few nights too. I think Juanita ended up rearranging someone to go to nursery for her on Wednesday so that she could come out with Dave on the Wednesday night too. So they were another answer to prayer like that. And okay, here's Brother Payne, and he's the bee man. Or no, he's the snake man. That's a bee handling outfit, you know? The kids don't know the difference, so he comes out with the bee handler thing on, and that's a real snake that Brother Ciro caught in his backyard. I should say his dog caught it in his backyard. And the thing was awesome because it's harmless, but it was like coiling up while Brother Payne was preaching. I kid you not, the Lord was even in the snake. It was coiling up and like striking at the glass, and the kids were going berserk. It was like bringing the house down. So we had him dress up on Thursday again for the peer pressure day, and here's how he did the skit. We said, back by popular demand, we got the snake man, and the kids went crazy, and he brought out the snake, and he starts going through his exact same spiel as he did on Monday. And then one of the guys yells out, hey, snake man, you know, what's with the funny outfit? How come we're not wearing an outfit and you're wearing an outfit? And he's like, oh, no, I have to have his outfit because this protects me. And then another guy says, well, that outfit looks stupid. You know, that snake's in a jar. You know, it's in a container. It can't hurt you. What are you, chicken? Take it off. And then we got all the kids to start chanting chicken, chicken, chicken to peer pressure him. And so what he did was he pulls off, and he's like, fine, I'll pull off my helmet. In the middle of his spiel, he pulls off his helmet, and then he falls down dead because a snake bites him, you know? And we showed him that when you yield to temptation, he knew that this helmet was to protect him, and when he took it off, this snake bit him, despite the fact that everyone thought he was cool for taking the helmet off. And I think the kids understood that, you know? Then we did a tug of war after that to show him peer pressure the other way. And so this is Brother Payne down there, and then Brett and I carried him off like a dead man, and then I was scared I was going to hurt his back or something, you know? And then he'd lose like a month of income because of a stupid skit. Okay, here's Jim Ranke, and on his night, oh, that's Tatia teaching on the same night. Oh, every night that we had preaching for the big guys, we also had a lesson like this for the little people, and then one of the women would teach that and do a craft with a Bible verse and stuff. And so that went really well, and the parents really like it when the kids bring home something. But here's Ranke. He's got a docking station platform right there, and this is a piece of Durarock, and what we did was... Well, what he did, I should say, is he bought 4 dozen eggs to display the power of peer pressure, and we put the Durarock on top of the eggs, on top of the platform, and then we had like kids stand on it. They went nuts. They went crazy, you know, and they even peer pressured him to throw an egg against the wall, you know, this wall right here, you know. So it was pretty cool, you know. The strength of peer pressure, it's like, you know, you get a bunch of eggs together and you can stand them, they don't break, but when he put one egg under there, it crushed, and that's because peer pressure, you know, there's strength in that, but when you're by yourself, you know, it's harder to stand alone. And then here's some more prizes. This guy here, Richard, came every night, and he's 15 years old, so we had some teens that were really into it, and that was neat. And he brought his sister, too. And so here's more prizes. A testimony about this girl, man, I'm going too long, but I this was only going to be like 15 minutes, believe it or not, but I misjudged time. Okay, this girl right here, her name is Jessica. She's a regular rider of our bus. She's been coming to our church for quite a while. Brett Rehnquist is her regular teacher downstairs, and I think that she's one of the people that melted his heart where he couldn't not come back, you know, when he saw her. But I think we need to pray for one of these girls, because, yeah, she's just one rider, okay? And she's just one rider that comes to our church, and you think, well, that's just a bus rider. It's just another kid, you know? But the thing is, she led us to so many different kids that she knew in the complex. It was crazy, you know, throwing rocks at their window. Oh, yeah, I'll buzz them down. That's so-and-so. She knew them by name. She even knew the grown-ups there, and she really was helpful in helping us round up a lot of the kids and stuff. So pray for Karen Thorpe on every bus route, and pray for Jessica on every bus route. And then here's Brother Rehnquist, and he's really got a knack for dealing with kids now after being down in the dealing with the six-year-olds for so many years, and here he's doing the Bible verse. And here's Brother Pedigal. He was on the last day, and when he was talking about the heart, he was Dr. V, and V stands for Valentine. He was a doctor of the heart. He dressed up in this outfit. Brett Rehnquist, you know, he couldn't. We were trying to find where can we get a doctor's coat, but then we had to get a doctor's coat that fit Brother Pettigo. And Brett's like, I might be able to get a Siemens coat. Well, I guess there's a really big woman at Siemens. And he got her, like, coat from this guy, and it fit Brother Pettigo like a charm. And he got that light on top, and that's actually that's a green shower cap, a woman's shower cap that Becky bought from Sally's or something like that. And so he looks just like a doctor. He had the rubber gloves on for the whole time, man, sweating like a pig. But he was getting into it, brother. It was a blessing. I'm not making fun of you. It was a blessing because he's getting into it. And what it was is all these different guys got in line, and everyone had a different spiritual or outwardly problem, you know. And then Brother Pettigo would, like, look at them like a doctor and diagnose them, and it was always the same diagnosis, bad heart, you know. And this skit literally came together within 24 hours because of everything else going down. We brainstormed it. We had no peace about what we were going to do on the last day until almost 24 hours before, and then the Lord gave us this. We're like, this is perfect, you know? So we got all the stuff in. So Bill Pryor here, he's got a problem with gluttony, I think is what it is, and the problems with the heart. He said he would do that. He's a good sport. And Tim Payne and Johnny Payne, Tim was the brawler, and that's a problem with the heart. And Johnny also had a problem with the heart, even though he was a victim. And here we got the two gossips, and that was the problem with the heart. And here we got the guy who deals with pride. He was Dr. Cool, and that's a problem with the heart. Look at that lawn. The Lord even gave us green turf. You don't see dandelions. You don't see clover leaves. You don't see any fungus, nothing. Look at that lawn, pristine. The camera went down, and I thought I'd put that in for comic relief. So, Dr. Cool, a four-step Scott's lawn, right? Okay, and here's Brother Payne. Now, Brother Payne came out, and this was classic. He was the cuss man. He was a guy who couldn't stop swearing. And he's got, like, such a loud voice from doing the song leading. He comes out there, what the blankety-blank is going on here? I can't believe it. Someone blankety-blank parked their blankety-blank car in my blankety-blank parking space. And the kids are just dying. And he's, like, yelling at Pettigo. And he's like, who the blankety-blank do you think you are? And he's just, like, really letting them have it at the top of his lungs. What he didn't know is that the lady who complained about the parking space was on her patio sitting there, and the Lord had it set up, and he's just like letting it rip, and it was just hysterical. But I mean, he just really got in. He says he doesn't get into skits, but he gets into skits. I mean, he was really getting into it, and then they diagnosed him as having a problem with the heart. But it was so funny. I mean, you can see his wife just there, just dying. All the kids laughing with glee. It was just so funny. And then Brother Ranky here was the compulsive liar, you know, and he lied down. What color is the sky? Green. It's purple. And he's like, it was, and his problem was the heart. And then Brother Pettigo preached. And this was our pulpit, and he used this big mirror to reflect the sun all over the kids. Anything to get their attention works. Anything, even if it doesn't tie in with the lesson, you know what I mean? Just start a bonfire or something. Or the one regret is that on the fire day, Jason Wolfgram was supposed to light his hand on fire. And I was in such a panic that I just, my eyes didn't even see it on my outline. I was like so disappointed after, but Karen Thorpe freaked out, and she's like, it's a good thing you didn't do that, because I would have been mad if you did that, because the kids will go home and try to copy it. But he was going to douse his hand with alcohol and light it on fire just to freak him out. I wanted to volunteer to show us that fire hurts. Okay, so there's Jen Rehnquist teaching the lesson on that night, and the pain kids, and then this is the obstacle course. Thanks to Brother Huber for these big semi-tires. And what the kids would have to do is you put a bat down, and they'd put their forehead on it, and they'd have to run around like seven times, and they'd get all dizzy. Then they have to run through the tires and then ride a tricycle on the sidewalk and then run back to the starting point. And it was a real riot, and then we took times for it and everything. So that's what I have to show. That's for the picture, so you can get a flavor of it. And I was wondering if the people that would like to give testimonies, if they'd like to come up right now. I don't know if you want to give a short testimony. I was much more long-winded. Oh, you're laughing at the picture of Christopher. I thought you were laughing because, like, oh, no, testimonies. Like, he's going to take testimonies for another hour. But really, it's important. Yeah, he made those in a Sunday school class, and it was so funny that I took the picture, and I thought it'd be a good joke to put it up there. But he wears those, you know. Did you devise those, Amy? Okay, so a blessing to you. He actually uses them. Brother Mike, I saw you came up. Would you like to give a testimony? I guess... how many people would like to give a testimony, just so I can have an idea of, okay, one, two, three, four, five. So we get about five, and then Marsha back there, six, and Bill Pryor, you wanted to? Okay, so that's about seven. So if you just take a few minutes and
I can't, like, say you go short because that would be hypocritical. So just say what the Lord puts on your heart, no more, no less.
I thank the Lord for saving my soul and saving for me not going to hell. And I thank the Lord for this church and my dad who told me about Jesus, and I thank the First Sunday School teacher I had was Brother Mr. Harrison, who was talking about the Bible, and I understood, and I liked it, and I thank the Lord that I'm here right now, that my dad, who knows where he's at, so I thank the Lord, and I just want someone blesses man, a walketh not in counsel and godly, no stand five sinners, no ceases scornful, but his life is a love, Lord, that is meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in season. His life also shall not wither, whatsoever shall prosper. Think godly in our soul, it's like the chaff. With the wind drop away, of thing godly shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hope I believe that for the rest of my life.
Amen. Someone else like to, and just a testimony, that verse comes from Bus One and Doctrination in 1998. He still remembers it. Amen. Anyone next? Looks like my wife wants to go next. Okay. Maybe if the people want to give testimonies, you can just like come and sit in the front pew so that you'll have some kind of order and then you'll know who's going to go next. You know what I mean? You just want to come sit in the front pew. Yeah, that would speed it up a little bit. Anyone that wants to give testimony about back here, by the way, you just sit in the front pew.
There were three things that I wanted to say. One of them Mike touched on was that our family had a chance to go out door to door with some other people on Saturdays, and we were passing out the flyers and passing out tracts and everything, and it was Christopher's first time to go out door to door. And he was, you know, dragging his feet, going up the stairs and going down the stairs and everything, but he really learned how to do it so that by the second week when he went, he was a pro at it. He would go up, he'd knock on the door, he'd stop knocking on the door when he wasn't supposed to. He'd hand a flyer. I'd tell him, oh, well, they don't speak Spanish, so don't give him a Spanish one. And, you know, he was really good with that, and it was just a blessing to us that we could go and do that as a family and start to teach him that. And also it rekindled a burden in Mike and I for going bus calling, just going two Saturdays in a row, and it was good for us. And it was a busy and tiring week, but we had a really good group of workers, and I was able to delegate some of the responsibilities that I had to people. I didn't have to worry about things. They used their own creativity and took initiative with doing different things, such as, it's too cold this day to serve what we were going to serve, so do you mind if I get something else? No, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. And so that was really good that I didn't have to worry about that and get super exhausted. And then the third thing that was really good, and I'm glad that Mike and I were given this responsibility because we have a young child, because we wanted to get other young couples involved and bring their families out. We had to bring Christopher every night. We weren't going to get a babysitter every night he was going to come, so we wanted it to be that the kids from our church could participate in this too. And so it was good for our families. They were able to come out to it, whether they came every night or one night, and work together as a family. It was good for the parents of the participants from the neighborhood to see all these children there. I think it encouraged them that, okay, I can take my kids there. Look at all those kids that are already there. And then I really got a blessing from some of the older children, and I'm going to name two of them, Rachel and Haley. They could have participated. It would have been fine, but their parents encouraged them to, instead of participate, to be a servant, to be a minister. They did not get prizes from the prize box. They did get treats, which was fine because all the rest of us workers got treats too. And but they had a really good time, and they did it cheerfully. I didn't hear either of them complain when they were out there that they didn't get to pick a prize, that they didn't get to do a craft. And so that was really good. That's it.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things from like a, I don't know, like a circumspect standpoint. Really, I mean, this last week was a good opportunity. It was like a birthplace for people to serve in ministry when you look at it. Because what we did was, you know, we did door knocking, we did Bible teaching, we did preaching, we did song leading, different people led in songs, you know, amongst other things. And I guess I just want to say quickly, you know, let it be an encouragement to you for next time, you know, the way, how unique it is, the Backyard Bible Club, that, you know, maybe you'd want to consider trying it out next year, really, just one evening even. And you never know, you might start coming, you know, three or four evenings before it's all out. But really, it is very unique in that standpoint. I noticed, you know, thinking about it over the weekend and on, you know, on Saturday when we went to do follow-ups on a lot of the kids that came. You know, I mean, just looking at the numbers at our bus meeting now on Saturdays, we only get about 5 to 6 people in the morning. So, you know, folks aren't going on Thursdays. They're not going on Saturdays. So I don't know. I mean, maybe just, you know, next year, pray about for next year. We might do it again this summer. I don't know what they're thinking about. But it might be a springboard opportunity for you in that shell you might be in where you're, you know, I don't think I can just, you know, talk to people at their door and just, you know, I don't like when they come to my door. So, I don't know, whatever it is. I mean, everybody's got that subliminal thought, you know, where they're just held back about going that extra step. And, you know, I think if you look at this ministry, this opportunity, this one-week thing, and just say, okay, I'm just going to pull out all the stops and see what happens. You never know what could happen. The Lord might do something with you. And then down the road, you'd be like, boy, glad I did that. So...
Hello. Monday, it was raining all day, like Brother Mike was saying. I was praying all day. As I was walking out the door to come, I had my Jewish friend at work. I'm telling you, he asked me what I'm doing. I said, we're going to go to a Bible club out here. He says, it's raining. No, I said, God's going to clear it right all out. Amen. He thinks I'm crazy. Most people do. But, and we got there. I mean, it wasn't, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, and it blew the rest of the night. And God took care of us. And then it was Wednesday. That other night, I was coming out of work, and it's pouring. I'm coming out of work, and I was just in Deer Park, so that's just this. Oh Lord, it's raining. It can't rain over there, Lord. So I get there, not just crossing. By the time you got to Dundee, it was dry. And as I was looking up, as they were preaching, there was blue. I mean, from as far as you can go that way, as far as you can go that way, there's a cloud. And it's blue right above. That's God, I tell you.
Amen.
So, and I spent some time on message, and I got messed up. I had two subjects. So Brother Chang helped me. The Lord put that on my heart. Sometimes we got to humble ourselves and kind of my brother. And then we're sitting there, and out of that came the skit for Friday. But the Lord used them to help me to get a message together for Friday too. So if we would love one another and we would minister to one another and bear one another's burdens, God will use one another of us to help and strengthen one another. So that was a blessing to me. And to see Brother Chanks, I know he was freaking out. I said, there ain't no one to help. I said, Lord will take care of it. I don't know how many times I've been here, just right here, and I need people to help move, and it's like, there's barely anyone here. And I've learned I could get bent out of shape when I don't have what I expect, but if I'm just thankful for what the Lord provides, He always provides just enough. And He did. God brought everyone together, gave everyone an opportunity, and I stay so busy. I'm thankful for opportunities like this. It's like reconnaissance. You go in, you go, and it's done. I pray that God would give us more opportunities like this. And every opportunity we have, that you come out. Because if you're busy, you know, certainly you can find a little bit of time to come out and let the Lord use you here and there. And I think it would help us.
Amen.
So, But what a wonderful week seeing God work and people coming out like Brother Rehnquist to come out and just let God work, because there's so much that we can do. Maybe we don't have to do it every single day. Maybe you can't. But pray that God would give us opportunities to minister to other people like this. And I think
I wasn't a teacher, I was an observer. I got to watch, and basically I was like Steve Sullivan, security. So, you know, we match. I don't know why you put me in that skit. I don't know, stereotyping. Anyway, as an observer though, one of the things I saw were the people around the area. And when Brad or Mark would be leading songs, there were people out on their balconies. There were people walking by. They would stop and listen to the songs. And they'd be hearing these songs about Jesus. And like you said, it'd be bouncing off the walls. That whole complex, there was one night where there must have been 50 kids out there. And you could hear it when they're singing the B-I-B-L-E or something, you could hear it all over the complex. And people were listening. And really, we had two or three people that were upset. And you're talking probably 1,000 people in that complex. And it was an incredible thing. People were on the balconies. They wouldn't come too close, but they were listening. So there was an effect on more than just the kids that were there. And a lot of the kids, they were really excited about it. And I told Mike, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but I would like to be able to do that on every bus route next year. And I think there's enough people here, we could do it. And if we work together, we could put something together, and there's areas on each bus route where we could reach a lot of children. And even if they don't come, there were children that were saved, there were people that heard the gospel, adults that heard the gospel, there were adults that sat in the preaching, and every night I think there were at least one or two adults there. So it was really an exciting time.
Your turn.
like my husband said, it was a real blessing to see the young people, the teenagers, the little children, and even the young adult and the older adult. But it was a blessing to see everybody participate and come out, and it was a blessing to see when every night I come, the children would be outside and say, "Are they all here yet? Are they starting yet?" It was just a blessing to see all those children with smiling faces and everything, just waiting for everybody to come and participate in the Bible Club. And it was enjoyable. It was like working in the bus ministry. I encourage every young person, young adult, they want to come and join the bus ministry or work in a Bible Club. It's enjoyable. It's to see those little smiling faces, and it's like Excel. She was really adorable, and all the little children were adorable, and they just wanted to see us every night. It was a real blessing. And like my husband did say, there was a lot of adults coming. They sat and listened to the preaching and sat through the whole thing until it was over with. And I just had a real good time, and it was a real blessing, and hopefully we can do it on all the three bus routes. The kids started coming about 4:45. That's when I got there, and they just said, "Is the time yet?" I said, "No, not yet, but you can. Let's go out and run out, you know, all your neighborhood kids and see what they want to come." And they said, "Okay." So they were there, and they were right there waiting for everybody to come, and it was a blessing to see.
Well, I'm going to give a testimony because I promised the Payne family that I would come up and do this. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here. So Sue wanted me to let everybody know that it was probably, as far as working with our family and seeing our kids involved and Rachel, you know, like not getting a prize and stuff like that, that was really good because it was a lot of work. And they worked very diligently with a lot of these young kids. Like, we split them up and they had certain parts of the Bible verses to memorize and everything. And it was, I mean, it was a great week. I told them, like, you know, even though you serve the Lord, we haven't done it for a long time. I left the bus ministry about 4 years ago from a disease. I can't get on the bus anymore. And so this was my first opportunity to come back. So I just want to thank the Lord for allowing us to do that, and Pastor allowing us, because I know I'm coming and going, and that he would trust us that we were going to be faithful. So thank you very much for that. And I've got a really bad stomachache right now, so I'm sorry. And Marcia Pryor, I just want to say what a blessing she was to work with her. This woman can work with kids more than I've ever seen anybody. She got names and addresses out of these kids that we could hardly, you know, understand what they were saying. And I got to say for the first time, probably a long time, that I got to work with Marcia, and I just wanted to say thank you, because it was a real honor and privilege to watch you work with the kids. And it really, maybe I'll hopefully bring that into my years to come. So for that, I wanted to say thank you. The Karen, she was very nice. She is very open, and like you said, she comes from a church of 6,000 people, but didn't want to do a backyard Bible club. And she really did get to birth something, and I hope she does get blessed in a mighty way that all these kids were able to come. And she did let us, the kids ran in and out, used her bathroom. We were in and out, and it was muddy, and it was raining. And the first day, I went over to Becky's house because we weren't able to meet up on Father's Day. And when people say they didn't realize how bad it was raining, but when I left my house, I had to go home and change every piece of clothing on me that we got so soaked, and we even had an umbrella. So, I mean, really, people don't understand how hard it was raining in our area. And that the nighttime, the ground was completely dry. It was just amazing what the Lord really did. And then I just wanted to say that Michael woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning the first day that it was we were going to do this. And I'm like, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "I can't sleep." I'm like, "Okay." So I let him get up for a few hours, and I didn't know what he was doing. And finally he said, "Okay, you've got to go back to bed," because I knew it was going to be a long week and everything. And so finally in the middle of the day, I said, "What were you doing at 5 o'clock in the morning?" He goes, "I was praying for the backyard Bible club." And he goes, "I don't know. The Lord just laid it on my heart." So I'm like, "Wow." And I don't know if I was telling Mike or Becky. And Mike goes, "That is so weird. I don't ever wake up at 5 o'clock." And Mike was praying at 5 o'clock in the backyard. And I really believe the backyard Bible club was a real success. And it really was. As nervous as you were about the weather. And I had one of the easiest jobs, of course, Sue Payne, and I always do the food parts of everything. So that's what we seem to be blessed at. So that's all I wanted to say. And I just wanted to say thank you for letting us work with you. And I only do the hugging part of the kids. And, you know, there were some kids there that really tugged at our apron strings. And Lord willing, they might come. And there was a few parts. Thanks.
Okay, I was only there one night because I was one of the people that Tim was talking about. But what happened there Tuesday night really changed my heart on what I want to do for the Lord, especially working with the little kids. When it came time to memorizing the Bible verse, I had five kids with me, and four of them came as a group, four boys. And one of them, You could tell he had a little bit of a disability, learning disability. He was very hyper. I'm sure his parents had him on Ritalin. But this kid refused to give up, even though the first three learned it so quick, and then they went on their way, they got their prizes. They kept on coming back, telling this other kid, oh, look what I got, look what I got. But this kid kept on pushing him away and insisted that he does his verse. And there was a lot of times when he would have one word. He'd be off on one word, and I was so tempted to give it to him, but he insisted that he did the verse right. And it took him the full 20 minutes, right up until it was time to quit, but this kid finally did it. And it was such a blessing to see him telling his friends, you know, no, go away, I really want to do this. So it really changed my heart on what I want to do for the Lord.
Okay, thanks for all the testimonies, and I'd just like to close it on the thought, based on what Marsha has said. If you think about it, our Backyard Bible Club starts at 6:30, and the kids were lining up there over an hour early to wait. So what that tells me is that the opportunity is there. You don't need to have to pray for an opportunity to serve the Lord. The opportunity is there. You need to pray about whether your heart is willing to give up your time and your energy and your money and your creativity to do something like this. And at this point, I'd like to pass it over to Pastor Huff.
I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I think sometimes things like this are as effective, if not more effective, than preaching and getting the point across. And nobody was aiming at bringing anybody under conviction, but just what a joy it is to see the Lord using anyone and to have a part in His service. You can see that in all those that went and had a part. We've done these VBSs in other churches far away. I guess where our church is situated, the neighborhood we're in, it just doesn't seem to be working for us to do a VBS in our building. Maybe we get a nicer building, maybe we'll get more folks from the neighborhood. But these backyard Bible clubs are just perfect for us and the people we tend to be able to reach. And I just thank God for laying it on that lady's heart and putting her in contact with us, because the idea probably never would have occurred to us. And I just want the piano to play. I'm not going to push for an invitation, but if you want to come for any reason, one person's already here, just to maybe give the Lord your heart, your some way in which you can serve Him. He puts these things together. He orchestrates them. Say, oh, God, I'm available. I want to touch somebody's life. I'm tired of just me taking care of me, you know. Maybe you're already doing something, and that's fine. I'm not trying to get those that are serving to do more, or saying that everybody here at the altar isn't doing something either. Just your chance to say, God, I want to be part of something real, something that's changing lives, something that's reaching people. How can you use me? Give me a willing servant's heart. I'm excited about 2004. I was going into it. I'm more excited now than I was when it started. And I'm more excited about 2005 than I was 2004. I'm only halfway to it, but I think the Lord's going to do some great things. He's doing a lot to get our hearts this year. Jesus said, you know, go in the highways, hedges, compel them to come in, my house might be full. He didn't tell us that we had to put together a lot of neat attention grabbers, but if you don't have any in this day and age, you might as well not do much going, because there's nobody out in the highways and the hedges. They're all buried in their houses somewhere, or buried in some arcade or a movie theater someplace. And if you don't have something to get them out their door to listen to you, some reason for them to pay attention, they're not going to. And it takes preparation. But the hard work that went into this, the prayer, the planning, and the dependent on God. What an exciting thing it is to see Him just put it all together. Wish I could have been here, really. I hope next week, or hope next year, some different week. We do three of them. Spread them out. All right. You can look this way. Everybody's made it back to their seat, but several did come. And it's joy to be part of this. I'm excited about being part of this. It's a blessing to me to see, you know, how you folks just came together. I think it was a combination college career young married project. And pardon me? And again, wound up being old married and teens, really. You know, and so I guess maybe next year, you know, we'll just open up to anybody that wants. You know, Brother Ching can oversee it, or he and Brother Fickett together, but it's kind of supposed to be a combined project. But I'll say this, he was disappointed. We had a couple of conversations and a couple of email exchanges about how disappointed he was that nobody in his class was coming forward much to want to have a part, and I don't think that a lot of the young marrieds were stepping up to the plate right away. More did as it got closer, but even so, God's provided the necessary workers, those that had a heart to do it. And again, I hope those that maybe just say, I don't want to do that. You know, you think, why didn't I want to do that? What's wrong with me that I didn't want to do that? And maybe next year you'll want to do that. And because again, you know, we're not omnipresent and we're not superhuman, so we can't be everywhere and do everything. But I'm guessing there's a few folks that just, it doesn't sound like anything I want to do. And you missed the real blessing. And so next year, think about that when time comes around. We'll have our planning meeting in November, and we'll put back our Bible clubs on the calendar sometime. And hopefully by then three of them and not just one. I don't think we can do them all at once, but three different ones in three different weeks, three different locations. The preparation is the hard part, really. And you can just reproduce it in a couple of different places. It'll, I think, reach more lives. Say, well, who was in church? Was anybody in church Sunday because of it? Okay, there was somebody in church. Two kids were in church this last Sunday because of it. Yeah, pardon me? And a few adult contacts. You know, say, what if that's all, that was worth it? Really, it honestly was, because again, it's not, you can't just go stand on a street corner and wave a Bible around, stand on a soap crate and get any kind of results these days. And so what it takes to get results is what you got to do, and the willingness to do it, to put it together, to have the hook, to get the kids' attention, get the parents to let their kids come out, all that, the effort. That's what we want to see. We want to see the teens doing that too. But again, next time, whoever wants to be involved can be involved, but we'll still put it kind of in the lap of those two groups, because they're the ones that really need to be doing a lot of the work. College career and young marriage need to be doing a lot of that work. Teens are going to be going somewhere else, going to Elkhart next summer and do a VBS down there for Brother Moore. But the young marriage and college and career really ought to put a stake in it. So thanks for all you did. Encourage the rest of you to make the time next year. Don't miss the blessing. Don't let tonight be forgotten. You know, it's not a wicked you, but it's how about that? Well, I guess that's all. I've talked enough. It's kind of a late night. Brother Mill, you going to try and do choir rehearsal? You need to. Okay, you need to have one for Sunday's sake. So I'll shut up. Choir, you come on up and get in your places right away. I'm sure it won't keep you longer than necessary. Carlo, dismiss us in prayer if you would, brother. We'll go to the next thing. Go home. Amen. Amen. Amen.
inside your black hole. Okay. The big purple one in your black hole is for Sunday morning. And the opener is nothing but the blood. Pass this down. What's that? Kids on the public school bus trips. Let's pray, and then we'll a couple words about Saturday for the nursing home, and then we'll see through Sunday's.